Hallelujah. This is a good day.
Hallelujah.
A good. This morning I'm going to talk on a subject. I think I've been talking on words around it, but I never preached on this particular subject. And the subject is the spirit of unity. The spirit of unity. And it's coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And I'll probably get to those verses sometime or another. We are gathered here because of the person of Jesus Christ. Because he is King of Kings, he is Lord of Lords. And we came here despite of all the things that we have going on in our lives. We made it here this morning at this particular point in time because we know that he is worthy of this gathering. He is worthy of us getting out of our beds and being inconvenienced to whatever degree. We are come to worship and to praise his holy name because after all, he is special. He is unique. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the God-man, Jesus the Christ. Have you ever noticed that whenever we meet and we meet in unity, things happen? Y'all notice that? Things really happen. People with the same purpose, believing God to deliver whatever. I don't care how big, I don't care how small, I don't care how expensive that thing is. When we meet in unity, God seems to deliver every time. We are looking at the spirit of the ministry, the atmosphere that the Spirit of God wishes to create among God's people in order for God to maximize his presence in our midst. So you would ask the question, what is unity? Well, the word is unity as we regularly use it, and it's what people long for. It's what people hope for and what we always call for. But what is it? Unity in its simplest form is unity is oneness of purpose. Oneness of purpose. And you'll see seven times in the next six verses the word in Ephesians, I guess it's starting from Ephesians 4, 3 through 6, you find one is used. It is the oneness of purpose. And let me tell you what the oneness is not. Unity is not uniformity or sameness. Unity is not everybody looking like everybody else. God created a variety and it was complete. It is all around us. God has created things of different shapes, different colors, different sizes, different styles. Unity is not everybody being the same. It is not uniformity. But what it is, uniqueness, going toward a common goal. God is, whatever the differences are, the uniquenesses, the things that make them different than someone else, but what makes it unity is that those uniquenesses are headed toward a common goal. A common uniqueness are well headed toward a common end, toward a common purpose, to fulfill a common vision. And oneness of purpose, because unity has to deal with the common, I guess the word is commonality, of the goal. The vision that has been captured by the uniqueness of each individual. It is that sense of oneness and purpose. It says, be diligent, he says in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 4, to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, be diligent. The word diligent speaks of making a deep commitment to this goal. What this means is if you are not spiritual, if you have not orientated to the Spirit, you are going to have a problem preserving unity because your point of reference won't be the Spirit of God. And the only other point of reference that you and I have if it is not the Spirit of God, it is what the Bible calls the flesh. The flesh is your human understanding. The flesh is your human approach. The flesh means it's man's way. The Spirit of God's point of view preserves the Spirit of God's view perspective, and it's his way. The conflict that exists within us and between us is really a battle of the flesh versus the Spirit. That is why the Bible says in Galatians 5 that we are to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In other words, the lack of unity is because the Spirit control is not being preserved. There has been a removal of the Spirit approach, a Spirit's approach to a thing, leading to division and disharmony and chaos. That means no Spirit, no unity. Except part-time unity, we create for a minute. What the enemy wants you to do is to think of these underlying problems. But these underlying problems are simply issues that are there that were left unaddressed by the Spirit that creates the conflicts that exist in individual levels. Like in families, when husbands and wives are constantly at each other's throat, constantly living in a war zone, constantly blaming and fussing and fighting, and that's the state of affairs. It's not something that happens occasionally. Smiling happens occasionally. Laughing happens occasionally. Being happy happens occasionally. One or both parties have refused to work of the Spirit of God. That is why we can't bring together the two personalities. They are not able to come together no matter how many plans you make, no matter how many promises to make them do better. You may say it and you may mean it. I want to come together and be friends. You may say it and mean it, but you're trying to create unity. He says, diligent. But be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. That means that the Spirit has got to have the final say-so. What we will do is we will bring the part of God's view that we like on a particular matter, and a part of God's view that we prefer on the matter, but that is asking the Spirit and flesh to mix together, and the two don't get along. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that they are at war with one another. Whenever you bring God's way and man's way and trying to work both ways, they will not work. The Bible says they will cancel out one another, because they don't get along and will never get along. In James chapter 4, he says, why is there battles within you, between you? And James 4:1 says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? He is saying, what is going on out there will show up in here. What is going on in here will show up out there. I don't care how much we say, let's have peace between each other. If I'm still carrying a battle on deep inside here, I'm going to have trouble getting along with you, whether I admit it or not, because I'm having trouble with myself in here. Until the soul becomes healthy, unity becomes impossible. But the only thing that can heal the soul is the Spirit. You can get people to talk to you to make you feel better. But one of the things that we have been learning is that feelings have no intellect. And make a note of that. Feelings have no intellect. Feelings are real. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're mad, you're mad. If you're sad, you're sad. If you're glad, you're glad. Those are feelings, and they are real. I'm not saying that they are not. I am saying that they are not smart. Feelings have no intellect. In other words, they don't think first. Feelings react. Isn't that right, Ms. Lottie? Feelings react. I get mad because of what you said to me. I get sad because what happened to me. In other words, something creates madness or joy or sadness. Therefore, if you bring something else, I feel differently, because feelings are reactive, and therefore their feelings change. That is just the way it is when the soul is diseased, and the soul is not operating properly. Then you are all over the place. You don't know a consistency of well-being, and so you live in war. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. It says, there is one body, one spirit, just also you are called into one hope of your calling. And verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One, seven times. The number one is mentioned. And seven is completion. Everything is one, 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 and one, not two. Most marriages fail for very simple reasons. Well, they can get a little deep. And it's really not that deep, in other words. Most marriages fail because two want to stay two. When God created, he says, and the two shall become one flesh. But folks who don't want to become one flesh, they want to stay two. This is your mind, this is yours, and this is mine. This is yours, and this is mine. Because the Spirit is saying one, and they just insist on two, and have invited the Spirit away. Once you have insisted on something opposite to what God is doing, then the Spirit will not produce unity. I don't care how much you pray for it. When leaders of a church are divided, the Spirit will not produce unity. One, he says, one, 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 one. He says one seven times. And we are saying, no, not one, two, 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 two. And we have all kinds of reasons for two. Well, I raised this way, and you were raised that way. No, the Spirit has said what you are supposed to do, what he is supposed to do, the Spirit has said all of that. So the mere fact that you keep going back to what your mama said, what your daddy said, what you think, what you feel, what they taught you in school, the Spirit is saying, I ain't got nothing to do with that. That's maybe bad English, but the Spirit don't have nothing to do with that. So why don't you let that fix it? In Psalms 133, only three verses to that psalm. First verse says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 2 says, it is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robe. Verse 3, it is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing life forever. He says, it is good and pleasant for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the dew that came down on the head of Aaron, going down to Aaron's beard and Aaron's robe, and all over Zion, and there the blessing of the Lord will be. Why must there be a spirit of unity? Because that's where the blessings of God rest. It comes down from heaven and flows on the head to the body, from the leaders to the family of God. In Zion, and the blessings of God rest there. To put it another way, where there is disunity, there are no blessings. You cannot operate in disunity and be blessed. your blessings will turn into a curse. You cannot operate in disunity and expect to hear from heaven. You cannot operate in disunity and expect God to answer your prayers. What the book of Acts said, is so electrifying. The book of Acts was so electrifying because the Bible says that the Spirit of God took over, and the last part of chapter 2 in the book of Acts says, and they were together on one accord in the temple. Their miracle didn't happen because they had the best program, or the miracles didn't happen because they had technology. Their miracles didn't happen because they had a big building to meet in. They didn't have none of that stuff. The miracles didn't happen because they had this big income, because the poor were living in Jerusalem, nor did they own their own land. The miracle happens because the Spirit of God was so free to flow, and it brought about the blessings there. There is this place, this is insane asylum, and they would let the people out of their rooms for a time to be out in the yard. By looking at these people, you could tell that the elevator didn't go all the way up to the top floor. These people were a little off. They would just walk and wander around and just wandering around the yard, talking to themselves and just doing all kinds of odd stuff. So a man came to visit someone that he knew there. And he noticed that there was one gate and one guard. He went over to the guard and he said, "Sir, you are just one guard and you have all these crazy people around here. Aren't you worried that one day they will decide to overpower you and break out of this place?" The guard says, "No." He said, the man said, "Wait a minute. There are hundreds of crazy people out here. Aren't you worried that one day they will decide to see that there is a way out? We only have one guard, and they will easily try to break out and overtake you." He says, "No, I'm not worried about that." The guard says, "Because that will never happen." The man says, "Why do you think that will never happen?" He says, "Simple. Lunatics don't unite. Crazy folks don't come together. And we have to be crazy not to take advantage of the Spirit of God and He wants to do, and what He wants to do when God's people come together." So in other words, when we are here and we on one accord, God is looking down at that oneness. He says, where two or three are touching together, there's nothing that is impossible for Him to do for us. And we always go back to the Tower of Babel, and He looked down, and they were building this tower. They was getting this set. They wanted to go. He said, "We're going to raise this tower up toward heaven." And God knew they would accomplish that, so that's why He came and confounded their languages. And by doing that, they had the wrong purpose. That was a man purpose, not a God purpose. And what God is saying today, that we, as long as we are on one accord, we can touch and agree in unity, and God will supernaturally do what He said is what that we desire Him to do for us, for the building and uplifting of His kingdom. One place and point that, and I can add this in easy, that when we decided to get land, purchase land, you all knew about it. And we told you that we are going to meet with the city about it. So we went down to meet with the city, and everybody was so sure. We came back with favor, talked about the city as possible. This is our land. And everybody was on one accord at that instant. Everybody said, "This is how we're about to really purchase some land." And while we're on one accord, and if you think back, that land, when it's decided that, you know, we can get it, but we don't want, it's too much trouble with the family. We can't deal with this. God spoke to the heart of the realtor about another piece of land, same acreage, 6 acres. And the land had, oh man, we went to view it and it was fine. But God had already planned, because we were on one accord, we said everything about this building of this church and land was going to be supernatural. And see, the beginning of last year, the chains have already been broken. We just had to come on one accord. But once we were on one accord, God supernaturally gave us land that hadn't even been posted. So everything about what God is doing is that one accord, that's unity. That's what God, and that's how he moves. Everything now what I'm going to do, from the land, and we all looking for the building to be on the land, but this thing I'm in between, these problems that can occur. And if you're just looking at the final building and don't be on one accord for every little step, it can throw you off. You can lose faith. You let money stop. You let the things that has to be done stop you. It's possible. So what I'm going to do now is the very step that we are at now. The land is ours. We have the deed. We told you, showed you the deed. So what I'm about to do now is the very next step. And the very next step now is clearing of the, was getting it surveyed and clearing of the land. And we are already ready. We've gotten estimates, and we're about ready to approve the estimate for that. But the finances, this is where the supernatural part is going to come in. So do we all, are we all together on the step that we are now? If God supernaturally gave us the land, don't you know if we stay on one accord, he will do whatever this step will call, and that is the survey, and that's clearing off the land and preparing for this foundation to be put on that land. We are together. Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we just touching and agreeing right now, Lord,